They're awesome, amazing people. They are completely devastated right now because of the hurricanes. I was able to call them through Facebook, message them right before the hurricane happened. And I was able to say, let's get you on a plane tomorrow and fly here and get you here. And to be able to not have to worry, Michelle, about money, number one, to be able to say, I want to pick up and fly your entire family here to South Dakota and not have to worry about money and not have to worry about time. Right after that happened, Sean's like, we got to get there somehow and help these people. To not have to worry about if we have a boss that will say yes or no to going and helping out people when they need to be helped. To not have to worry about taking time off because you only have so many vacation days or personal days. To worry about any of that. We don't have to worry about anything.
Everybody, this is Michelle from Girl Gone Frugal again. I'm like so excited to talk to these two people. They've been in my life for many, many years, but we look like babies, so I actually don't want to share how many years. because we've got this anti-aging thing on lock. And today, basically, I want to talk about how to achieve massive MLM, multi-level marketing success without being annoying and building a loving community of fans and supporters. So please, please, please listen to this entire show. If you are in a business, which basically, in my opinion, when I speak to these people, I will bring this up. Every business in the world relies on levels of supporters. So honestly, if you're in business, you need to be listening to this episode. Please give a warm welcome, even though they will not hear this, but like imagine like people shouting and yelling for my two dear friends, Michelle and Sean Poe. Hi guys.
Hey. Hello. Hello. I like this anti-aging. You've unlocked the code.
We have. So I don't want people to know. Like I'm keeping my age. I'm ageless. Whatever age you want to be.
You're so beautiful.
So I would love to share just a little bit about how we initially met. And then I want you guys to talk about who you are and what you do. So for anyone listening, you're like, well, who in the heck are Michelle and Sean Poe? And why are you even bringing these people to my ears today? Because you're listening to this podcast. So Michelle is actually a friend of mine that I've known again for a long time. We traveled around the world together in a program called Up With People, which is, I can't even gush enough about this program, but it is an international educational program where you travel the world, stay with people who are host families, you do service-related projects, and it's just really this, for lack of a better for word, a do-gooder organization, and I don't care. We need a lot more of them in the world. I'm a very proud alumna along with Michelle in this organization. One of the things that has been wonderful about knowing people from this space and just social media, things like that, is you can watch what people are doing. Started noticing that Michelle and her husband, Sean, who's fabulous, and they're Westerners, which already biases me towards them. They're originally from Wyoming and I'm from Colorado, but anyway. But I had noticed that they were really achieving success in a business model that I think gets a bad rap. And I noticed that the success was very contingent upon how they grew their community. And I was like, you know what? I need to talk to them. And I kept forgetting about it because I kept trying to learn how to podcast. And finally, this summer, I'm rooming with Michelle during our reunion. And I was like, I've got to talk to her about this. This is, now I know what I'm doing. This is a great time to kind of get into this. So Michelle and Sean, share what it is you do. And we're going to start talking about your business, how you grew it via community. And we're just going to geek out. So introduce yourselves.
Oh, you are awesome. You know, every single time that Up With People gets brought up, it's just a beautiful, beautiful feeling. And, you know, some people are like, is that a really cheesy thing? I'm like, you know what? It can be as cheesy as you want to think, because it's all about the world and bringing the world together and that we are one. And when one person can make a big difference, you know, that domino effect of what can be done in this world is really, really beautiful. And that's what that organization is one person making a big difference. And, you know, going out and doing that community service, loving on people, asking lots of questions, staying with those host families and learning about them, learning about their cultures, learning about the food and just themselves, and going to all these different communities and finding out what makes these people tick in these communities, you know, and going out of your comfort zone. We always say, feel the fear and do it anyway. And my goodness gracious, Michelle, didn't we have to do that many, many times? And it is just a beautiful organization to, you know, be talking about here. And it's what brought us together. It really is making a big difference. And we're brought here in life, I think, to do some wonderful things. And we're put here on earth to go big. And that organization definitely opened, I know, many of our eyes to the possibilities of what can happen. And this business was brought to us six and a half years ago. And I think if everyone can always just be open to hearing what your friends are up to and doing, you just never know where that will lead you. My girlfriend, her name is Nikki, she introduced us to this ABC Primetime Investigative Report. And she came to me and she said, Michelle, I know you're entrepreneurial, you're passionate about people and you're passionate about health. You've got to check this out. And I was like, what in the world is she talking about? And, you know, when it comes to, you know, you mentioned multi-level marketing or network marketing, she would always come to me and complain and say, oh my goodness gracious, you know, these people come to me all the time and it's the next best shakes and pills and weight loss. And, you know, and it's nothing against them at all, but she just, with her being a dietitian, she just got bombarded with it. And she's just wanted to kind of live and do her thing at the heart hospital. And so when she came to me, I said, you know what, I've got to listen to what she's coming to me with, because I really respect her. And if she's got something to say about anything regarding, you know, she's saying health and entrepreneurial and business, I better listen, because I really respect her. So long story short, that's how we got started in this. I watched this ABC Primetime Investigative Report and was completely blown away, because I don't know if those of you out there have seen ABC Primetime Investigative Reports with John Quiñones, but they don't ever end positive for the people investigated.
They tend to be a downer usually.
Yes, they're shutting people down. They are, you know, shutting people, they're shutting businesses down. They are, it's just, it never ends well for them. So when I saw this at the very end that it ended positive, I was completely shocked. And then my girlfriend said, oh, there's this other video, you got to watch it. It's the second one. And I'm like, okay, interesting. So then it was this video that said, this man behind it won a medal called the Elliott Crescent Medal, which is a medal awarded to people like Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. I'm like, what in the world? This is like the car, the airplane. And then it was in the Wall Street Journal, and Sanjay Gupta had written in it in his book called Chasing Life. And he was a CNN correspondent that I totally knew who he was. So I'm like, why in the world does not everybody know about this?
Before we go further, because we haven't mentioned the name of the product. So what's the name of the product?
The name of the product is Protandim, Protandim.
And what's the name of the company that sells the product?
Life Vantage.
Okay. So for those of you who are listening, Michelle is basically hearing about this amazing product called Protandim. I've actually heard of this product via Michelle. It's through an a business model or a business called Life Vantage. And so she's hearing about this from all these validated sources. And I think that's a really, really important point. And I had to interrupt her there because she's like going and I'm like, wait, we got to remember the name. So yes. Keep going, Michelle.
Yes. Well, you know, watching that, I was just completely, my mouth was completely dropped, because it ended positive. And then it was in all these third party or peer reviewed published research, you know, and then she said, there's this cardiologist that's going to be talking tomorrow. And Nikki had no idea. My girlfriend had no idea. Number one, that I was dealing with some massive health issues. Number two, she had no idea that my dad died of a heart attack at the age of 42. And when she said there's a cardiologist that's going to be talking, it was like, bam, positive ABC, bam. Oh my goodness, you won all these awards. It's not just a good scientific award. It's like literally the car, the airplane, Wall Street Journal. And then she said, cardiologist talking tomorrow. I'm like, oh my goodness, I will go and listen. But let me tell you, those of you out there that are listening that are not interested in network marketing and do not like it at all, welcome to my husband, Sean Poe. I was open. We had never done it before, never wanted to do it before. But he looked at this, and how did you feel, Sean?
My connotation attached to network marketing probably wasn't the greatest. However, I would say that I was open-mindedly skeptical about the business side of it. I had never done network marketing. I didn't know anybody that had done it. So I didn't really have an experience, but just, I think society in general sometimes has a negative attachment to, or a negative stigma attached to network marketing. And at the time I was working for Citigroup and managing the defaulted student loan portfolio. And I had worked corporate treasury before that, where, you know, we were moving anywhere from $4 billion to $40 billion around the world at any given day. And I just couldn't fathom in my head how you could truly make money off of an investment that was like $1,000 or $1,200. It didn't make sense to me. We owned an online business at that time where we did personalized kid DVDs and CDs.
I remember this.
It was absolutely fabulous.
It was so
but,
fun.
You know, our overhead just on Google advertising during the Christmas season was probably about $20,000 to $25,000 a month. And, you know, when you're selling a product at $20 a piece, it takes a long time just to pay off the overhead. So I was open-minded, but at the same time, I was skeptical about what we were seeing, what we were hearing, and our lives were completely busy. We were both doing full-time jobs. We had two little kids, an intern that taught at the Spanish immersion school that our kids went to, living with us, and our days were really full. But we were excited about what had been shared with us as far as the products. Mm-hmm. And that's really how we began into the business. It wasn't to build a business or do a business. It was because we were excited about what we had our hands on, and we just wanted other people to know about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, after a couple weeks of just sharing it with people, the more people's bodies that we got it into, the more people that were having anecdotal evidence that it was doing what the science said that it was going to do. And it just naturally snowballed into a business that we really had to step back and say, where does this truly fit into our lives?
I want to actually push back and say that you probably did know people who worked in that business model. If you've ever met one of your mom's friends who did Avon,
Mary Kay.
Mary Kay, all the kids selling chocolates.
Yeah.
Girl Scout cookies. And so before we did this episode, I've thought a lot about this business model. And I'm like, quite frankly, this is the business model of all businesses.
Yeah.
You get people to become an early adapter.
Yes.
You get people enthusiastic about the product. You get people to understand why that product can facilitate change or make you happy or make whatever it is that product says it will do. And then the other people become brand advocates and bring people in. That's if you are an online coach like myself. That's right. If you are a product like Coca-Cola. That's if you are a organization like Facebook. So I would push back and say that really this is the quintessential business model, like the oldest business in the world, which we're not going to say which one that is, but my point is it's been around. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's been around. And I think that, why do you think you had a negative perception of it when it was framed in this kind of way, multi-level marketing or network marketing? What part of that, when you heard that phrase, what about it made you feel like, oof?
Yeah, I think it's more of lack of education and lack of understanding more than anything else. You know, I grew up in a household where we were expected to excel in school and go to college. And if you wanted a better job, you went to graduate school and then you came out and you became a great employee for somebody. And that, I guess, entrepreneurial mindset wasn't necessarily at the forefront. I always had it, but even our education system, I think, is built more so towards producing employees and not entrepreneurs. I think that that's the first part of it. And, you know, you even look 50 years ago in the business world where franchising wasn't looked upon as really a valid way to do business, and you couldn't make money doing that. And, you know, there isn't anybody that would argue today that franchising doesn't work. And we're making this major, major shift, Michelle, in the business world, where we're truly getting away from a century of brick and mortar type business to this flattening of the world, and it's distribution based, cutting out as many people as you possibly can. And, you know, the best example is probably Amazon. All Amazon is a giant network of distribution centers that ships product from the distribution centers to somebody's house. And that's really, you know, when network marketing is done right, that's exactly the same thing that we do as well. It's straight to the consumer. And, you know, what I found was that when it's done right with the right people and the right products, it's absolutely an amazing business model to be involved with.
Yeah. And, you know, and going back to, you know, your question, Michelle, you know, what made you think that this wasn't a great thing or a negative to you? There were different things, like Sean said, but in my head too, I never wanted anybody to feel like I was trying to make money off of them. I never wanted anybody to feel like I was pushy. I didn't want to be, well, just talk. You know, and it's like, oh, these home meetings, and then you have to go do this, and then you've got that, and oh, so-and-so is just trying to make a buck off of me. And I literally, after that first meeting that we went to, I came home, and I knew, because this product, Protandim, was the only natural branded product to ever be published in the journal called Circulation, which is the premier cardiology journal of the world. Knowing that my dad died of a heart attack at the age of 42, I'm like, you were taking this forever. I'm taking this forever. Our kids, our parents, whatever. We're taking this forever. And I knew that people needed to know about this. I didn't understand oxidative stress, but I literally sat at my kitchen table for 2 hours by myself, battling in my head with these different thoughts of exactly this. Oh my gosh, this is network marketing. Oh my goodness, what are people going to think? Oh my goodness gracious, this. And I'm not kidding you, Michelle. I literally had a hit across the head from God, universe, whatever you want to say, hit across the head. And it was, Michelle, you have a gift to share with the world. And it was like the heavens opened, and I'm like, okay, I have to share this with everybody that I know. You know, and it was definitely a journey of, I have to get out of my own way, because this is not about me. This is about the people that are in front of me. And literally, if you are on this planet breathing air, you need this product, because it's the only product on the planet that's proven to lower what's called oxidative stress by an average of 40% in 30 days and up to 70% after 3 months. And when you understand all that, you have that responsibility. So I just had to, like I said, feel the fear and do it anyway and share my heart and listen to people. And what happened over that time frame was we did find out that there, like you said, there is business model is the greatest gift. I mean, it's when you're lifting people up on a daily basis in every way and helping them get to where they want to go, whether it be health, finances, personal growth, just being building new relationships with people. It's unbelievable.
So I want to clarify one thing and then move to another thing, which is, first, explain to the listeners what is oxidative stress. And then I want us to really talk about what that first year of being in business looked like for you. So I think that I have some theories about how you built your community, but I do want to make sure that listeners understand what oxidative stress is so that they can do their research and understand what in the hell we're talking about.
I know. Well, that was me too when I first heard about it. And I watched that ABC investigative report, and, you know, they talked about, you know, oxidative stress and cancer and Alzheimer's and diabetes and rheumatoid arthritis, autism. I mean, they talked about all these different things. And I'm like, what in the world is oxidative stress? And because we're natural, we can't say that we cure, treat, prevent, or mitigate disease. But what oxidative stress is it's literally known to be the root cause of disease. So how do you get oxidative stress? Well, I had heard about free radicals. I don't know if you've heard of free radicals, Michelle. So you hear about free radicals, you hear about antioxidants. That's all over, buzzwords everywhere. So you get these free radicals, you get them all over the place. They're coming at you from pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and GMOs. You go to the gas station, you pump gas and you breathe in the gas fumes there. You get on an airplane, what happens when you get, you know, you cross and get onto the plane? You have that big whiff of the fumes from the plane. Our cell phones, right? Our cell phones, they get hot. Our computers, we're sitting here, we're getting all the yucky free radicals from all of those. So you get a bunch of those free radicals and they come down and they attack your cells. And when you get a bunch of them attacking, then it becomes oxidative stress. So imagine cutting open an apple and it's sitting out on the counter. What happens?
It gets brown.
It turns brown. So that's what it is. It's rusting from the inside out. And when your body is rusting, that's when disease starts happening. That's when mutations, you know, genetic mutations, all those different things start coming into play. And that is what oxidative stress is. I hope that was clear. And when I learned truly what that was and that this was the only product on the planet with peer-reviewed published research in a site called PubMed.gov, which is the site through the National Institute of Health and Aging. It's the gold standard of medical research. It's where all the doctors go. There's actually a 10-year federally funded peer-reviewed federally funded study that the National Institute of Health and Aging did. They wanted to see which products, natural products out there, which products would extend life. So they put all these different products out there and they found out that Protandim was the only natural product out there that extends life. So just thinking of healthy, good years. Don't think about being 120 and being miserable.
So let's talk about that first year of business. I'm trying to figure out, did you have to purchase some product? What were your days like? How did you connect with people to get them to purchase the product? Like, just really break it down. And you were already busy and working another job, by the way.
Oh yeah. I was working full time, national wholesale mortgage rep for over a decade, 100% commission. As Sean said, he was corporate treasury, student loan recovery. We also had our online business and our kids and our girls. I mean, we were literally the definition of no time. So yeah, we were definitely.
When in the heck did you fit this in?
Exactly.
I mean, I think honestly, when you're passionate about something,
yes,
you find the time. And a lot of our time was after everything else was taken care of and the kids were in bed in the evenings, instead of turning on the TV, it was, you know, working this business on the weekends, instead of, you know, me watching a couple of football games, it was, you know, educating people on what was going on and training new people that were coming into the business. And our lives, to be completely honest, we're upside down for 18 to 24 months, probably. But what we knew was the short-term sacrifice of what we were doing would get me out of the corporate environment that I didn't want to be in. And, you know, it would create that time freedom down the road. So the short-term sacrifice for the long-term gain. And, you know, that's really how our lives have always been. It's always been chaotic. It's always been busy. It's just a matter of how we're allocating that time. And so we put our heads down and, you know, Michelle did the majority of the recruiting that first year and getting the information in front of people. And I spent a lot of time on the business side and the framework behind the scenes, and then training people when I could and being on calls when I could as well. But 9 months after we started, I was able to walk away from the corporate world, and we've been doing this full time together since January of 2012.
Okay, yeah. But I want to break it down more, because really what I'm trying to do with this podcast is have people leave it with kind of a framework on things that they should be thinking about in terms of action.
Yes. So
you decide to invest in yourselves and this business, and you have no team members. You're at zero.
Yes.
Well, so you go to this meeting, they yes. pull you on. This is our product. You guys got in kind of on the ground floor, I should say. So it was very new to everyone. So you had to share this concept with people who had no clue what the hell you're talking about.
Still don't. Yep.
Still don't, really.
Yep.
You are in South Dakota, okay, in a wonderful community. You're known in this community, but still, it's not like if you were in San Diego. talking about. I feel like in San Diego, this would be an easier sell on some levels. Okay. So I think the level of skepticism might be a little higher because I feel like I feel like I know the people.
Right.
So I want you to walk through you sitting there from, okay, we're going to start this business to, we have no one on our team. We have to build a team. What were your first steps? What did that look like? And how did you go from zero team members to 10 to 20 to 30? Listeners, I'm speculating and I'm pretty sure I'm right that, and this is the other reason why I wanted to talk to them. I'm pretty sure that you guys are hitting six-figure months. I know this based on the fact that I have other friends who hit six-figure months, a lot of friends. And so just watching how your business grew, I am speculating that I'm probably right. Talk about just starting your team and what that looked like and how you got them to buy into it. Because to me, what is so fascinating about your brand as Michelle and Sean Poe is it's you. It's not just ProTandem. It's
right.
Like really break that down for people.
First, I think it's important for people to understand that we didn't have experience doing this. We had never done network marketing. We didn't know the first thing about nutraceuticals or supplements. Mm-hmm. And so if you are looking for something like this, you have to ensure that there's a system in place, a proven system in place that you can follow and that you do have the right people surrounding you to teach you what needs to be done step by step. And that was really the best thing that we got when we did get involved into the business were other people that had success. They understood the industry inside and out, and they could show us what that system was and how to operate within it.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, just kind of taking you back to the journey of that very first meeting, Michelle, is sitting there and listening to this, you know, this cardiologist and hearing about this business. We didn't have any earnings disclosure statements back then like we do now. We had no idea that you could actually make money. My entire care was 1,000% this product, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I had no idea that any money could be made. I didn't care about money. I never looked at the compensation plan. I didn't care about any of it. So, you know, it's truly about being you, and it's truly about being passionate about what you're passionate about and being 1,000% authentic. You know, I came home from that meeting and my mind was blown. Completely blown. And today, 6.5 years later, it's more blown by what we have. Seriously. Right. I tell people that all the time. It's unbelievable. So coming home, my mind was spinning. I went to YouTube. I was looking at studies. I was asking researchers to look up stuff, people that I didn't even know. I was asking them, I'm like, have you ever heard of this? Can you disprove this for me? Blah, blah, blah. They're like, can you get this guy on the phone for me? I actually know of who he is. He's a great guy, blah, blah, blah. Got them on the phone. I don't know how I got that to happen, but I was just like in.
You were sold on the product, period.
I was, yeah. I'm like, how in the heck does this affect literally everything? How does this do this? So I kept thinking of people, Michelle. I was learning and learning, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, this person needs it. Oh my gosh, this person needs it. Oh my gosh, this person needs it. And then I'm like, holy cow, everybody in the world. Like, you know when you are just, I've said this, mind-blowing?
Yeah.
Like, you're so passionate, and you're just like, I can't believe that everybody in the world doesn't know about this. And so I'm just sitting there going, okay, people need to know. So we enrolled, like Sean said, we enrolled to get in on the business side, but had zero intention to build the business. And so we came home, and the reason that we did is because we got a ton of products. So we're like, okay, we're going to get all this product. The shelf life is 3 years. Sweet. You know, we'll save money on shipping. That was it. Came home. My girlfriend that introduced this to me didn't even know that I enrolled as a distributor. I called her up. I'm like, hey, I enrolled. She's like, oh, as a customer? I said, no, as a distributor. She's like, whoa, wow. That was just kind of it. And then I had to call somebody later and say, oh, somebody wants to be a customer. So here's the deal. People around me would say, oh my goodness, my head hurts. Or, oh my goodness, this. I'm like, oh, you need to watch this ABC investigative report. It's crazy. Boom. Somebody else would say something like, oh, you got to watch this ABC investigative report. It's crazy. Boom. And, you know, I didn't know how to explain oxidative stress. I didn't know what the word Nerf 2 meant. I'm like, is it a Nerf ball? What are they talking about? They said big words like glutathione, superoxide dismutase. So if people had questions, I would get them on the phone. Like Sean said, we had this unbelievable team of people that we didn't know any of them except for my girlfriend. And they were like family. So I'm like, okay, you've got questions. Let me get you on the phone with, you know, my girlfriend, Nikki or Carrie or whatever. And they can answer any questions that you have, you know, publicly traded company. My husband's already tried to disprove it. The science is all there, you know, sweet. They'll talk to you and they'll figure it out. So, you know, you talk about how did that journey go? It was just to be out helping people. And the journey is so crazy because you're out and you're helping people and then you become more passionate. You know, you go on this journey of learning and thankfully, like Sean said, we had these people that were a part of the organization. And this one woman named Carrie, who's one of my dearest friends ever, she's like, you got to go to this first ever convention. You got to go. You got to go. I said, no, thanks, but no thanks. We're, you know, we just spent all this money. We've got all these business. We literally have no time, but you know, we're not going to do the business. She's like, no, seriously, it's the first ever convention. First one. And I'm like, no, thank you, but no, thank you. I'll share, you know, the product here and there when people I hear that need it, but that's going to be it. And then finally she said, Michelle, this will cut 6 to 12 months off your learning curve. I'm like, oh, now she's speaking my language. If I'm going to be sharing this with people, I do want to know what the heck I'm talking about. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. And Sean was awesome and surprised me. I'm like, we're a team. We do life together. We've known each other since we were in sixth and seventh grade. Come with me. And he surprised me at the last second.
Aww.
So I know. He's pretty awesome. He's good at surprises. Awesome. So you talk about the journey, Michelle. It was all that and how did we do it? But here's the thing. 2 weeks after we enrolled was that first ever convention. So we went and we were like, and within our company, the ranks go from pro, like you're your distributor, and then you go to pro 10. And people are there, we're shaking hands, and they're like, oh, and we would joke around, we're like, we're pro nothings. And people are like, don't you ever say that. You're pro something. You are something. I'm like, no, really, we're pro nothings. But we went there, and my mind was, again, just wowed. And it was, I'm like, these people have no idea who we are. I mean, we've never done network marketing before. Why would they care to hear about us and our story? It's not like we were in network marketing and these big, studly people were coming in and, you know, we're going to blow it up for the company. I mean, we literally knew nothing. And people were so amazing, generous, asking questions. Then you see people on stage and you hear their stories. And it was a business meeting. It wasn't hoorah-rah, you know. I mean, there's definitely people that are excited and happy, but it wasn't like anything that I had in my head, like this big, like I said, hoorah fest. And I remember going back to the room with my head, you know, just looking up at the ceiling going, oh my gosh, this is like for real. You know, you hear of this guy whose wife had just passed away and he has all these kids and he sold his semi truck to do this business and is making more money and able to take care of his kids and, you know, not be away from them. I mean, you just hear story after story and you come home and you're like, this is bigger than what I could have imagined. At this point, I still didn't know anything about the compensation plan,
mm-hmm.
You know? So you're asking how do the people go about this? Number one, plug into the system. I did listen. I learned about what there was. I asked a lot of questions and we went to that first event. And events do it. It gives you the complete vision. You meet people, you realize that these people are for real. You hear stories, you hear the stories are for real. As you build a team, I always say we're connectors. Like we connect people all the time. We just are professional connectors of people. And, you know, I came back home and I still was a little nervous, to be honest with you, about sharing the business because I didn't want people to think that I was
this whole
network marketing thing. And I went on this little journey and I had another moment in a car ride by myself at this point. And I was in the car and I had another hit across the head moment where it was like, Michelle, get out of your way. There are people praying for this business just as much as this product. And I mean, it was so clear to me. And I went home and I'm like, okay, I have to just, there's this window of opportunity sheet that shows, you know, where we are in our business at the beginning or, you know, in momentum or at stabilization. And I said, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say this may or may not be for you. So then that takes that pushiness out, you know,
yes.
It may or may not be for you, but here's where we are in the business. If you're thinking of other people that, you know, need this product, you might, you know, want to look at this. And so I started doing that and I started using the team more and following into the system. And we've never missed a corporate event in 6.5 years. And duplication in this business is for real. People will follow and do every single thing that you do because they're watching and you really are mentoring them. Okay, what did this person do? What did that person do? And so we're grateful for those people who taught us that. And it was at that month that Sean came home from work and it was a little bit of a journey, but he was having to lay off a lot of people. Our world right now, as we know, is very, very different. And he was having to lay off tons of people at Citibank, and it killed him. It literally killed him. He knew these people, and they had been working there for 20, 30 years, and their families, and he would come home, and he would know it before he could even tell them, and he'll tell people that he wasn't the husband and father that he should have been. And I got sad, and I got mad, and because, like I told you, I've known Sean since sixth grade. And I'm like, this is not okay. I am not going to let a job control my family. I'm not going to let a company take everything away from us. We are here to live and to love living. And I had been involved long enough to have met the people, experienced the products, gone to that first convention, realized that this was real, getting weekly checks. I'm like, I thought I was going to get like $2. I was getting checks every week just because I cared about people. And at that point, I said, I don't know how the heck I'm going to do this, but I'm going to get my husband out of his job because the corporate world is not going to take my family away.
I'm going to interrupt because I want to be very, because some of my listeners are like, okay, we're feeling the love here, but what were the steps that you actually took?
Yes.
So you're starting to really understand that you have to duplicate the model because you're walking in other people's steps. You have mentors that are supporting the vision of the company. They're expressing to you the lifestyle that you could potentially have by sharing and helping people live better lives, which is really the best thing ever. But what does the nitty gritty of that look like? Were you on Facebook Live? Were you having meetings every week? Were you on calls? Like because people, I don't think they understand the work piece. Like everything you're talking about sounds great.
Yeah.
But I want to know about the work.
It's not a get rich quick scheme.
So this is still the first year we're talking about. You're starting to get money in. You're starting to get checks. You're starting to slowly build your team because you're like, this is what we're doing. I love how you initially were framing how you would introduce what it was instead of it being pushy. Just, hey, just so you know. So were you doing weekly meetings? How were you connecting with people? And I'm sure that social media was really helpful as well.
You know, early on, it was a lot of over the phone that we did because we did not grow up in South Dakota. We grew up in Wyoming. We lived in, Chicago and then Milwaukee after I was done with graduate school. And so we had, you know, people that we knew within the community, but that wasn't where, you know, our close warm market was. So it was truly a combination of a lot of different things, of in-home meetings, getting people on calls that were happening. We didn't have a lot of webinars that were going on, 6.5 years ago. There was a little bit of Skype that we were using. Today we use a lot more technology based and there is a lot more social media going on. But I think in our mind, what we didn't want to have happen was us know about something and then 2 or 3 years down the road, anybody that we were close to coming to us and saying, why didn't you tell me? Whether it was the product or whether it was the business. So that's truly how we were approaching people and getting the information in front of them was, you have to check out this video and see if it fits. It may or may not be for you. And honestly, Michelle, 80% of our business plus is customer based.
Wow.
And I love that for the simple fact that if people don't see the business vision like we do, it's okay. Don't do the business. I think it's a no brainer. They're going to integrate the health products into their health strategy. But that's how we built it, was an exposure to the information, getting their questions answered and following up with them. And we did it over and over and over again until we found the people that saw it like we saw it. And a lot of people, you know, did just come in as customers, and some of them, you know, with their testimonials and the anecdotal things that happened to them, they transitioned into the distributor side. But it wasn't, you know, a ton of people that were just jumping in and doing the business with us. In 6.5 years, we've brought in probably 65 distributors.
Wow.
And out of those 65, maybe 7 or 8 have even treated it like a part-time business. But with those 7 or 8 people, it's turned into almost 24,000 people globally. And so that's the power of this, is you're exposing, you're following up, and you're finding out if they're a yes, a no, or a maybe. And you're doing it over and over again until you get the desired results that you want. And the relationship side of it was more important than anything else to us. We weren't going to damage a friendship or a relationship because of getting this in front of people. So we weren't inundating them with, you know, message after message after message, or, you know, constant posts on Facebook. We use, right, I would say, more of the attraction marketing and just dangling carrots as far as the social media aspect, where people are approaching us and saying, you know, what is it that you're talking about? Where did that testimonial come from? Or, you know, how did you guys take a month off and you know, travel all of June with your kids and things like that? And because we maintained those relationships, some of the people that we got this in front of 3, 4, 5 years ago are just now coming back to us and saying, you know, tell me more about that. What is it? I know that, you know, you tried to explain it to me, but I wasn't really listening when you first got going. Early on, that was our approach.
Yeah. And, you know, just to be very specific, did we do weekly meetings? Absolutely. Okay. Every single week. So we had a big meeting every week where everybody would go to a specific location. We would go to a place here called Tinner's, and it was a public location where everybody would come. But during that week, we would also have meetings in our home. We would also meet with people one-on-one in like a coffee shop or get on the phone, like Sean said. Every Saturday, we had a training. So if you have some new people on your team, we were meeting up and, you know, hey, here's how you get started. There's something called the blueprint, which is, you know, the system that Sean talked about at the very beginning. How do you do this step by step by step, and introducing them to the team and learning how to do calls. And I remember the first time when someone said, you do 3-way calls. I'm like, what the heck is a 3-way call? How do you even do that? Oh, I didn't know this button was here on my phone that I could connect with a third person.
Okay. I'm still going to go back to the time. A lot of people, I'm in a somewhat similar model of business. Everyone in business is in a similar model of business, because you have to get out there and you can need to connect with people. As you're talking about all of this stuff that you started doing, I'm hearing, when are you sleeping? How did you, I have to ask it again. How on the H-E double hockey sticks did you do this?
H-E double hockey sticks, I love that. You know, it is passion. And it's, you do, you know, here's the thing. Busy people know how to get things done. So you are just doing and you're doing. And, you know, I'm driving to an appointment. I call somebody up on the phone. Hey, do you got 10 minutes tonight? Oh my goodness, you told me the other day that your job, you were miserable, you know, you went in and you're just so frustrated and you don't have time with your kids. So I'm going to an appointment and I can't talk for a long time at that point, but I just say, hey, can you talk tonight? Maybe at 9 o'clock, the kids will be in bed. You know, your kids will be in bed. We can just chat for a few minutes and see how you're doing. You know, that goes on. So then scheduling your life kind of that way, feeding the brain, how in the world do you learn all this stuff, right? You're in the car, you have no time. We always say no extra time. You're driving, you're learning. You know, we would have recorded calls that people would do, you know, different opportunity meetings. So literally I would take my computer and I would bring it to the bathroom with me. And while I'm getting ready in the morning, I would be playing all of these. Well, how do you do the business? How, learning more about the products, learning more about the company, learning about the story of everything. You talk about Facebook. Facebook was great. If somebody said something on Facebook real quick about health or, you know, just life, or if I just wanted to see somebody, I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to them forever. I just quickly send a quick Facebook message. Hey, what's up? Or, you know, they say something like, oh my gosh, you need to watch this ABC investigative report. It's crazy. So then you have that moment of where you can just say that and then move on with whatever you're doing and then come back to it when they, whenever they respond, then go and share at that point. So it's literally fitting it into the nooks and the crannies of our life, right? But we're so blessed now. Blessed, it can make it harder sometimes, but with technology, I mean, right. You can be at my daughter's volleyball game. We could be in Iceland. We can be, you know, we were building homes in Mexico last year for people in need there. We were doing meetings, you know, that morning. And you can just answer questions and take care of people literally anywhere in the world. It's a funny thing. It was really fun. You know, every Thursday night we have these live opportunity calls. And I remember laying in bed one of those nights. It was like 9 o'clock at night and I got several friends on a call. And then I asked, you know, one of our team members, hey, if anybody has questions, are you free afterwards to chat with them? And I just remember sitting in my bed in my pajamas going, oh my goodness, how fun is this? Helping people, building a business and being in my pajamas in bed, talking to somebody at like 9:30 at night now.
And I think, Michelle, what people that don't feel like they have enough time or they don't have any extra time need to do is really make a list of what is it that you're currently doing that you're willing to put on the back burner or willing to give up for a little bit of time and what you're not willing to give up. And see what time becomes available. And it might only be an hour or 2 hours a week. And then, you know, get up 30 minutes earlier, go to bed 30 minutes earlier, and that's an hour every day extra. So those little things, you know, when you add them up, there is time available for people to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then it's the consistency of it all. We might have not been working this full time, but we were consistent in putting in effort in every day. Yeah. And the compounding effect that that has over the course of 6, 9, 12 months adds up to be a lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at first we got the advice from one of our business mentors that it'll seem like you're drastically underpaid when you first get started, but there's a tipping point that's going to happen where you're going to be so drastically overpaid, it's not even funny. And so that kind of always stuck in our head that, okay, we just have to be, you know, upside down for a short term. And then, you know, we will be able to own our time and get our time back. So to me, that was the biggest thing is what we were willing to sacrifice short term and what we weren't. And we listed it out.
And having that deep desire of why you're doing this business. I mean, I knew exactly why and what we were going to get and talking to our kids about it. You know, we're going to get dad out of his job. We're going to do this. I mean, talk about sacrifices. Right. I mean, we never missed anything. And we, you know, you talk about sleep. Well, when you're on a mission to do some things, you don't sleep as much, right? But you're having a good time. I mean, that first year was crazy, but it was so fun because you're working so hard with so many people. So when you really know, you know, in any business in life, you hear about knowing your why. Why are you doing what you're doing? I mean, for you, Michelle, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? You've got a big purpose and a big vision as to how you want to help people and what you want to do to inspire and improve people's lives and whatnot. And so having that vision when you wake up every single day, then time doesn't really become a big object because you're excited to do what you're doing.
And I want to be very clear about from the time that you guys started, when you got in on the ground floor to when Sean was paid out of his job, if you will, where you were able to retire him out of that. How many years did that take?
It was 9 months.
What?
Yeah.
Dang. So you started and you're like, let's get this done.
Yeah. And,
wow. I got to sit back for a second. Yeah. and you're not playing around.
Timing component of it is important, but I'll tell you this, we've been doing it now for 6.5 years, and I've been all over the world, Michelle, doing this. The Philippines, Australia, Canada, Mexico, all over the United States. There is not a market that I've ever set foot in that the average person still has any idea about the technology that our products contain and our company. And so that's where I get excited. And the reason why we work as hard as we do still to this day is we want as many people to come through that window of opportunity as possible, because eventually it does close. And I just think that we're truly positioned. You're in Denver, Colorado, where a lot of the research started and where this company really was founded. And I promise you, you walk into the Cherry Creek Mall or somewhere in that area, and you ask a random group of people, 100 people, if they know about LifeVantage or Protandim or NRF2, and you'd be lucky to find one or two people. And so that's what keeps us working as hard as we do now, as we did in the beginning.
I want to also, this is a kind of a technical question. You're getting in touch with all these people, that kind of thing. Were you building an email list or a database so that, say, you have a warm lead that you knew to follow up with them? What was the technical part of making sure that things were flowing well? And how did that look?
So you're talking to me, Michelle. I'm not the world's most organized person.
Organization by chaos.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, Lord.
I've got my own sense of organization, but it is. You know, I follow up in this business and profession, but really in any profession, you know, fortune is in the follow-up and, you know, relationships, anything. And so people originally, you know, they get their information, but they, you know, they'll want more education, more information, follow up. And so having that system is really important. But to be honest with you, I just had a bunch of papers on my desk to begin with. And I would have, you know, wrote with this person. And I was just constantly going and being like, I would hear, you know, somebody's testimony, or I'd see this new study, and I would look at, you know, all the people that I had shared with. And I'm like, oh, this person needs to know about this. So then I would email them something. Or, oh my gosh, this person needs to see this. I just heard this amazing story. And so then I'd text them really quick. Oh my goodness, this is so cool. You got to hear this. And so I would just kind of look. And I still in my office have some marker boards with different names. So then when anything comes across that's new, I can share it with them because it's important information. You know, they need to know about these different things. But later down the road, you know, some cool little tricks that I did was I bought a recipe box. So I'm not super techie, like as good as you with techie stuff, Michelle. I bought a recipe box, and in there, you know, I labeled it January through December. Every single month, put it in there, and then you have your little your recipe cards. So then I'd write the person's name down. And, you know, if I talked to them, I'd, you know, write what date I talked to them. What did we talk about? Did they see the ABC investigative report? Did they talk to somebody else? Did, what studies were they interested in? If it was Johnny's birthday that day or in the next week, I would write down, oh, Johnny's birthday. So then the next time I could talk to him, I'd be like, hey, how was Johnny's birthday? And so then if they would say, you know what, follow up with me in 2 weeks. I'm super busy right now, but I'm so interested to hear more. Then I would keep it in that same month. So then that month when I'm going to go through follow-up stuff, I could see that it was still there. And then if they're like, you know what, I'm just so busy right now, I, you know, follow up with me in a few months, maybe I'll be interested. Or, you know what, I'm not interested at all, but if something ever comes up, or I would say to them, you know, if a new study comes out or something in the financial side comes out, or, you know, a news story, like we've had, you know, Donny Osmond was talking about it on the Dr. Phil show. You know, if something like that comes out, then I would put it out, you know, like 3 months down the road, I would put their little card there. So then I'd be like, okay, is it time to, you know, share with them again? Because you don't want to be a person, you need to respect your friends and your family and people that you're meeting. You don't want to be that person just hounding them. Even if you're so excited, you know that everybody in the world needs these things. You know, it's not about us. It's about the people that are out there. So we have to respect them. So that was a very helpful system, to be honest with you, for me to keep things organized, because when you are going as fast as we did, you will forget about people, not intentionally, if you're not a little more organized than what I was.
And I want to kind of transition to what does life look like now? And actually, before you go there, I'm going to mention, what was the year that you first started, by the way?
2011.
Okay. So did I see you guys in St. Louis in 2013? Was that 2013?
Sounds right.
Okay. I'm going to assume it was. So for the listeners who are from the personal finance side, in 2013, FinCon, which we're about to go to in a couple of weeks in Dallas, was holding its convention. Is it a convention? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, in St. Louis. And it just happened that Michelle and Sean were in town in St. Louis for LifeVantage because they were having their convention as well, and conference convention anyway. And so I had an opportunity to see what a freaking big deal you two were. And it was so hilarious to me because I knew you guys were doing this thing and you were excited and I'd seen you in Denver and, you know, we see each other like a couple times a year. It seems like it's really hilarious. And
yes.
And this time it was like, oh my God, we're not even in Colorado. I'm going to see you in St. Louis. That's random. And so Michelle comes to the door to pick me up and they're in a huge meeting and I don't really understand. She comes in looking like literally a supermodel. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not dressed for this. What is going on? Because I'm thinking we're just going to say hi. We walk into this like 5,000 person arena. I kid you not.
Yeah.
And we go from the back of the room and just keep walking and walking and walking. And I'm like, these people know Michelle. What is happening? And we keep walking. And I'm like, I am really underdressed for this. And we keep walking. And we finally hit the second row from the stage. And we sit down. And I'm like, they are kind of a big deal. And then I, like, as time has gone on, I've seen you guys on marketing materials, things like that. I am not affiliated. And for listeners, I'm not affiliated with LifeVantage. So it has been absolutely fascinating and wonderful and amazing to see how your hard work has paid off. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of, as we wrap this up, talk about what life looks like now. I know because I'm friends of yours, but let people know what life has been like. You could just talk about this year because this year was pretty epic. Share what life has been like now.
It's changed dramatically for us. And, you know, I think stories tell kind of the best examples that people can relate to. And I used to be the dad that I was lucky to be in town, let alone be able to go to anything that my kids were doing because I traveled so much with student loan litigation. And when I got out of the corporate world, I'll never forget my youngest child starting kindergarten and we got to go to the apple orchard to get pumpkins. Aww. And it's the middle of the day. Aww. And Michelle's on one side and I'm on the other and she just looks up and she goes, thanks for being here. And
this,
you know,
little voice,
it wasn't in the realm of possibility for me even a year prior. And so what happened with you know, us putting in the work and pushing that boulder up the hill far enough was now we get to create our schedules based off of what we want. It's not somebody else telling us when we need to be somewhere or what we need to do or who we need to help. We really can create it around, you know, our kids' volleyball games or dance competitions, family vacations, and then work from there. But it hasn't changed the fact that we work hard. We still continue to work hard. I just got back from a trip in Oregon and then Alabama that I was gone for 6 days. And my kids know that, you know, when school's around and they're busy with their activities, yeah, we'll schedule around what we need to be at. But I'm also going to be on the road and helping other people get what we have. And I'm not saying that to brag about anything that we've done. We just want to help as many people get their time back and have choices in their life because we know what it was like to not be there.
Right.
And, you know, on that last trip, I hit over to over 125,000 miles flying this year. So some of it is fun, but, you know, we still put our head down and we do what we ask other people to do. We will never expect anybody to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves. So time, freedom. I know that, you know, a lot of people, they become self-employed because they want to be their own boss and build their own dreams. But the reality of owning your own business sometimes is it owns you. And, you know, you're your own best employee and it costs you money to take off time to be on vacation and things like that. So even if this vehicle isn't the one for you, I would challenge you to find a way to get residual income into your life because it's so much different than trading time for money or being commission based. We did work once that we get paid over and over and over again. So truly look into what residual income is and how you can get it into your life because it will change everything.
Well, I just, I love my husband's brain because he's just, he's so business and so smart.
I'm black and white. He's very, yeah. She's rainbows and butterflies.
Yes.
I would have to totally agree.
Yes. we are definitely opposites. We do different, you know, there's all these different personality tests or different things that we recognize with ourselves and things that we do. And it's like, I am way on one side and he's way on the other side, but I guess that's why it works really well. You know, I get emotional. I mean, it's very clear as to how I feel about our company's products. You know, right. If I could pay for everybody in the world to take them, I would. But here's the thing about the business and network marketing or finding a business that's with residual income is life is tough, right? Things come at us when we don't know when it's going to happen. Look at the hurricanes that just came.
Right.
You know, we've got friends in Puerto Rico that we met on a Disney cruise, and Elise, our youngest daughter, she and her sister speak Spanish, and this cute little Abril was on this Disney cruise, and her family, they met each other, and they connected because Elise could speak Spanish to this cute little girl, and they're the same age, and they became fast friends, and we spent a couple weeks with them. We were over in Copenhagen and went to an amusement park together, and we have stayed in touch. We saw them, and when we were in Puerto Rico a year or two ago, and, you know, they FaceTime. They're awesome, amazing people. They are completely devastated right now because of the hurricanes. I was able to call them through Facebook, message them right before the hurricane happened. And I was able to say, let's get you on a plane tomorrow and fly here and get you here. And to be able to not have to worry, Michelle, about money, number one, to be able to say, I want to pick up and fly your entire family here to South Dakota and not have to worry about money and not have to worry about time. Right after that happened, Sean's like, we got to get there somehow and help these people. To not have to worry about if we have a boss that will say yes or no to going and helping out people when they need to be helped. To not have to worry about taking time off because you only have so many vacation days or personal days. To worry about any of that. We don't have to worry about anything. You have a team that's set up and our business grows when we move, go away places even. They don't need us. It's just going on its own. And to be able to have that freedom to help people when it's needed and to not have to worry about those instances. You know, somebody last year, one of my dearest friends in the world, her son got cancer, AML leukemia, very aggressive form of leukemia. To be able to call her up and say, we can leave tomorrow and come and live there and take care of the rest of your kids because she had to go down to Denver, which was like 3.5-4 hours from right. her other children and husband. And to be able to not, again, have to worry about any of that and just get up and go and to be there for people when they need it is, that is freedom to me. Yes, money is great and wonderful, but you can do great things. You know, we can give back in bigger ways, but it's that freedom of being able to be there for people when it's needed. Or, you know, if any of us need it on our own, to not have to worry about what if something happens. So
we truly are free range humans.
And for you financial geeks, residual income, you've heard this, what we call it is passive income.
Yeah.
So see, totally different business. To me, kind of the same business model.
Right.
Passive income is key. So before we finish, this is my last question for you. What is your number one piece of advice for anyone who's going into business for themselves starting today? Actually, I have two questions. We're going to roll back.
Okay.
The question I want to ask is this. What if you're in a business that is not necessarily a heart-centered business? What if you're selling like leggings or something like that? How can you be enthusiastic? If you're in a business, I've been thinking about this. Okay. If you're in a business, so you're doing this business that's very heart-centered and very personal, but I find that a lot of people end up in businesses, to me, that they're more in it for the business model versus a heart-centered product. How do you grow a business that's not heart-centered? So for example, there are people who are out there selling leggings and they're really annoying because they're so aggressive, but I'm like, I could just get leggings online. Why are you bothering me? Or pots or just things that it's like, this doesn't touch me from a heart-centered you know, focus.
Yeah. Right.
One of the things that was really interesting to me in terms of a business that just launched was Rihanna's Fenty Cosmetics, actually. Huh. And it was really interesting because so many women were so excited. I know, Sean, you don't wear makeup. But people were so excited because Rihanna had created this, she'd been working on this for a couple of years. She had created this beauty line that has every shade of coverage, almost every single shade for women of all colors for what do you call it, Michelle? I don't wear makeup, so I always forget.
Foundation?
Foundation. That's what it is. So even though I technically do own some. So for me, I could see her if she ever wanted people to sell that product. She already has all these people who are just so in line with it. They are obsessed. They're obsessed. I watched people talk about it all weekend long. They were so obsessed that they made me want to buy some.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the word foundation. So if you're a person going into business, how is it that you can be excited about something that's not heart-centered?
It's a great question because that is, you know, how we have built our business is passion and excitement over what we have our hands on. And,
right.
you know, I think regardless what product or service or industry it is, you have to find a way to create more value than anybody else. And when you can translate the value to somebody else, whether it's heart-centered or not, that's where you're going to position yourself for financial success. You know, your example with Rihanna and offering something where you could get makeup in, you know, around us, even in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, in 50 different stores within 10 miles of our house. You know, how did she create more value than anybody else? And it sounds like she did it through offering an extensive line of shades that other people hadn't got their hands on. And that's where I would look first of all. What areas can you be better than anybody else, create more value, and finding mentors, finding people that have already had success and being coachable to what has led them to that success.
Okay. Now I know that you guys did spend a little time with a certain someone with the initials TR. So who am I talking about? And share that experience. And then the final question will be, what is your number one piece of advice?
Well, we've been on a massive journey for personal development. That was probably the one thing that I didn't expect network marketing to bring into our lives was massive personal development. And in the corporate world, we talked about it and we did minor things, but we never took it serious or really truly helped people grow personally. And, you know, I think in order to achieve at higher levels, you've constantly got to be growing and learning and teaching yourself new things and being open to new ideas and concepts and really understanding why we do what we do and why do other people do what they do. And so this past year, we were exposed to a really short period of time in terms of Tony Robbins. We saw him for 4 hours at a network marketing industry event, and Michelle truly wanted to go to one of his major events. And I couldn't comprehend how anybody would sit through 50 hours of his coursework, because after 4 hours, I mean, I was just so like drained psychologically and just everything and physically, because he's getting up and down. But the reality is when we started looking into it, it was something that fit perfectly for us to take us to the next level, to really get a better understanding about business, get a better understanding about health and wealth and, you know, all of these different areas. So we decided to take a year and just truly immerse ourselves into the teachings and coaching opportunities that he has. And, you know, we're leaving on Monday for 10 days to go to Hawaii on just a relationship event that he's hosting. And we're fortunate to be in the position that we are able to afford spending the amount of money that we spend on personal development. But the fact of the matter was, we always did.
Yeah.
We always, regardless how much we were making, we allocated a certain amount towards our personal development and just becoming better people. Mm.
I think everything in life is relationships, and it's getting to know people and getting to know yourself and being, you know, you heard me talk a little bit the other day, Michelle, about being vulnerable and being authentic and being real and just sharing your story. And that's what we're learning a lot more about too, and opening that up and sharing our stories more so that other people feel okay and vulnerable to share their stories, because that's how we all grow as individuals and people. And that again is the beauty of this, you know, profession and this business, is that people are getting out of their comfort zones, they're sharing their stories, they're becoming and finding who they are. You know, the other morning I was talking to people and they said, you know what, I've forgotten how to dream. You know, it's getting people to realize that they can dream again is a great thing.
On that really beautiful and very meta moment, I'm like, oh my God. You guys got me all like feeling things and emotions.
Oh, stop.
Where can people find you and kind of learn more about what you do?
So my Facebook is Michelle Poe, P-O-E, and there's two L's in Michelle. We have then Sean's is S-H-A-W-N, Poe, P-O-E. And then we have ours together, which is Sean and Michelle Poe. And then we also have a site, seanandmichellepoe.com. and then we have a YouTube channel, which is under Sean and Michelle Poe. So we're so easily accessible at those places. So just go ahead and message us there, and I can give you more information to Michelle on where to find us and different links. Absolutely. We are an open book, and you know, we're just here to help people in every way that we can.
Thank you guys so much. I know that it was a really big deal for me to have you guys on. I'm just so proud of all that you do. You guys are really a true testament to the idea of building people up through just loving on them. I say this very seriously. To me, when I look at your business and how you deal with people, it's a very loving approach. It's a very giving-centric business model. And I think that if people tapped into that idea that there's plenty of abundance out there, you don't have to really compete with other people.
No.
You can collaborate. You can bring people up with you. More people would really make more money and also just be able to serve others. So I applaud what you do. I look forward to seeing. What are you guys now? Pro 9 or something? I don't even know.
Almost.
I think this year they're going to hit Pro 9, which
yes, we
Pro
will.
10 is like the, you know. So yeah. I'm so excited for you guys, and I just wish you all the best.
Well, and here's the thing, Michelle. You know, you kind of touched on something, and people within this profession celebrate your friends that are also in the profession that are in a different company. Celebrate them, encourage them, help them out, uplift them. We were at a girlfriend's, 1 year party last night, and she's in a different company. It's exciting. This profession is unbelievable. To be able to watch your friends have something that they are excited about and to help them and give them ideas as to how that they can grow their business and have them give us ideas, you know, within your business, Michelle, like you said, if you can collaborate with other people and just have amazing, strong relationships on how you can give value to others and be open to, you know, receiving the same thing back, it is just cool.
And thank you so much for having us on. It's our pleasure to be on here and talk with you. And we appreciate what you're doing for just educating people on financial literacy and how to take care of themselves. Because I think in our society, it's often an overlooked topic until it's too late for people. And there's no better time than the present to move forward with actionable steps on securing your future financially.
Yeah. Amen. Michelle, you are an unbelievable person. I as a friend for over 20 years now, you have always been just over 20 years.
You hit it.
Until then. Oh, we've known each other.
Have to edit that out, huh? just being a friend for so long, that laugh that you just threw out is what I think of when I think of you. You are just, you're a laugh. I don't think I've ever said that to anybody before. You're a laugh. You make people smile. You are a light and you are just so giving. You know, at our reunion that we just had, you were just so dedicated to helping other people and giving ideas. And I just love you so much and appreciate, like Sean said, the work that you're doing for others. And I'm just so excited for you. So thank you for having us on. Thank you for trusting us with your special, special audience of people, and just appreciate you. So
love you guys.
Love you.